Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks.
Today on The Grave Talks, Connections with the Dead, a conversation with Andy Moore. When Andy Moore was a young child, he quickly recognized that he could see and hear people's spirits who had passed away to the other side. What made this so difficult to grasp was that his family and friends could not. After years of trying to block out this ability, he embraced it and has discovered the positive difference it could bring to the lives of strangers. Today, we discuss his journey and the unique skills he lives with every day on The Grave Talks.
There's two major things that happened to me. The first one was when I was really young. I was probably about 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And I lived with my parents just outside of Birmingham, about 6 miles away, which would be the second biggest city in England. And it was an old 1930s house. And the land was all mining land, a very ancient land where it was built on. It's actually built on a main road. And I always remember being in my bedroom, and I could hear my mum and dad downstairs watching the TV. My mum was doing the ironing, and at the corner of my eye, there were two figures, both wearing top hats, standing looking at me, which was really, really strange for me. As I adjust my gaze to look at them properly, I could see them fully as though I was just looking at an actual solid person. They didn't say a word to me. They just kept looking and looking and looking. Then I heard my mum walking up the stairs. She was bringing the ironing up that she'd done, and they just faded. So that kind of freaked me out a little bit, being at that age. That happened, I'd say, once a week for about 12 months. And then I started, as we were walking around town and walking around places, and I'd see really old people in really, to me, really strange costumes. And I'd point them out to my parents and say, why are they dressed like that? Mm-hmm. And there's nobody there. But I could see them, and they would smile at me or they would wave and all those kind of things. Some were just what we describe as residual energy. Some were actual spirit energy. Then I started being able to communicate. And very strangely, it felt like I've got a TV actually inside my head. I know that sounds weird and way out, but that's the only way to describe it at that age. Then I kept it really quiet. I didn't want to tell anyone because nobody would believe me. So I kept it quiet, and then I went through my teenage years, and you get up to all kinds of stuff in your teenage years, and you don't want to be talking to dead people and all that kind of thing because it is not cool. Mm-hmm. You want to try and fit in. And then I got a job. My job was a lifeguard for one of the swimming pools, and I was working there for a few months, and a full-time job came up at a 1930s Art Deco swimming pool. I applied for the job. The night before the interview, I had this really vivid dream, and looking back now, I don't think it was a dream, where a little girl came running up to me in my bedroom and said, "You're coming to help me." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Woke up, took no notice, went for the interview. When I got to the swimming pool, like I say, it was very ornate, very Art Deco. I walked in, and there's two sets of stairs, like two grand staircase. The manager's office where I needed to go to the interview was one of the stairways. I stood at the bottom of the stairs waiting to get up and composing myself, ready to go. And at the top of the stairs was the little girl. And that kind of freaked me out before an interview.
Mm-hmm.
I walked up the stairs. Luckily, I got the job. I managed to compose myself enough. I started there the very next day. And I've seen that little girl every day at work for the last 33 years. So that kind of got me, propelled me into it, developed my mediumship and all the other aspects of spirituality that I deal with. So, yeah, it's a strange story, but that's how I saw it and that's how it happened to me.
Sure. And I want to unpack some of those things that you just talked about. When you were talking about you were a kid, you were walking around and you would see people dressed in what looked like old costumes and such. And some were just residual, kind of going about their business, but some did look down at you and smile as if they could see you. Is there something, and this is just an opinion-based question based on your experiences, but do you believe that the spirits on the other side that are conscious, that are, you know, there, that they can tell which living humans can and cannot sense them?
Absolutely, yes. But I think there's two parts to that as well. I think they can actually sense the people who, the vibration of people that can possibly tune in.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that everybody can tune in, that, you know, there's no difference between me and anyone else. I think we've all got the possibility of doing it. We can all do it. It's just that some people don't want to, or they don't want to pursue that kind of life, or mm-hmm. they're just too scared. So I do believe that our friends, our relatives that have passed do come back and speak to everyone and try and leave as many signs and as much detail as they can, just to let you know that they're okay. It's just some people just don't want to tune into that possibility. And that's absolutely fine, in my opinion. But I wouldn't say that I'm any more special or gifted than anyone else in that ability. It's just opening your mind to it.
Mm-hmm. When you saw them and they looked down at you like, hey, they see this little boy that can sense them. What are they doing? Are they, you know, that's an interesting thought of, are they just going about their day just as we would on this side? What did you notice? What did you see? Like what sort of, you know, actions were you seeing being performed as you had these experiences?
Well, I've seen that with the residual things, it's just like people walking sure. or pushing a pram or that kind of stuff, you know, everyday things. It's almost like going back in time for a split second,
mm-hmm.
but seeing life as it was then in the 1970s for me,
mm-hmm.
and then seeing a little aspect of, like, say, the 1800s or whatever time frame, it's that little glimpse, and it was almost a couple of seconds and it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
With the other spirits who would interact with me, I would kind of like try and talk to them in my head and I'd hear a voice back. And then I would say to my parents, especially my mom, you know, I've got this gentleman here and he's saying this to me. And normally it was a member of the family that had come through that I had no idea who. I was only young. And it was like my mom's uncle and my mom's grandmother, and I described them perfectly and what they were saying and what related to my parents at that point, what they knew of those people.
When did you realize that you were the only one who was seeing them and your friends, your family were not?
That was pretty early age. I was almost... As strange as it sounds, I was almost older than my time, if that makes sense. So I felt as though I didn't quite belong.
Sure.
That kind of changed a lot in my teenage years. You know, when you kind of rebel and you do those things that you're not supposed to do just to try and fit in with the crowd and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite young, and then I just dismissed it. And I developed a way of tuning out. So I didn't want to see. It wouldn't always work. I'd see little bits and pieces and I'd get messages for friends and that, but I would never pass those messages on. I didn't want it to be seen as different.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a difficult time, as teenage years are for everyone, but yeah, it added another dimension to it, which, it made it a little bit more difficult, but it was okay. Got through it, and I'm just trying to help my children now go through it, because they're my youngest lad is 17, and he's absolutely phenomenal in what he can pick up and what he can see, and just to give him that support and help him develop in the right way, and just say it's okay, it's acceptable, don't worry about it, you know, carry on.
When you realized that you had this ability, and others, you caught this, you know, early on, did you ever question, is there something wrong with me, you know, or was it right away like you just kind of accepted that this is part of you, this is just kind of an ability that you have?
Oh, you question it, yeah, but I also didn't want to question it too much, and I didn't want to make a fool of it or say too much to anyone. Mm-hmm. In case people thought I was absolutely crazy, and you end up being put in a special school or...
Yeah.
And I just wanted to be normal. And the way for me to be normal was not to say anything.
Okay.
That was my way of dealing with it.
Sure.
And I accepted it for myself. And like I say, I kind of developed a way of like blocking it out as best as I could.
Let's talk about that for a minute, about blocking it out or tuning it out. I know you had said earlier that, you know, you just... if you got a message that was for a friend, you just wouldn't share it because, you know, it would be weird, at that time socially, to be the person coming up going, "Wait, you know, I just got this message from the dead for you." You'd be ostracized.
Yeah.
But beyond that, how does one who has this ability tune it out? I mean, is it like flipping a switch? Is it just like ignoring it? Like sometimes you can be in a room, the television is on, and you may not have any idea what's being said on the TV, you know, if you go back and are asked about it, you know, 5 minutes later, because you were engrossed over here at something, but you still could kind of hear the noises. You knew the TV was on. Is that kind of like how that works?
Exactly. Yeah. I've since developed it further than that.
Okay.
But in my younger years, that was the way I kind of concentrated on something else. I read a book, I listened to a conversation. You know, I'd do anything just to like kind of ignore it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the fact that it scared me. There was nothing that was ever presented to me that was scary, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Sure.
To me, it was quite normal. And I'd got a fascination with history anyway. So to me, to see all these strange costumes and all these weird things, it was fascinating at the same time. But you don't want it all the time. You can't live like that all the time. It's a nightmare. You do something that kind of blocks it out. And that what you've just said, that analogy about the TV, is absolutely spot on. That's okay. How I used to deal with it. Now I use visualization tools. So imagine that. Do you remember the old fashioned radios where you had to tune the dial through
yes.
to get the radio
yep.
station?
Yep.
That's one of my visualizations that I do to try and open up and close down. I tune in by you visualizing the dial moving up and down. And I teach quite a few visualizations for people when they're trying to tune in. And one of my group, they like painting. I do a lot of painting myself. But the way that they open up, they visualize that they're actually dipping the paintbrush mm-hmm. into the paint. And then they're open. And when they wash the brush out in the water, they're closing down. Another one puts a record on, puts the needle on the rod, and takes it off when they want to tune out. So it's all these little visualizations that help us mm-hmm. disattach from the energy. I know it sounds strange, but that's how you can adapt it to actually sort the difference out, so you know when you're open and when you're closed.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.